Father, we thank you and give you praise and glory this morning. We thank you because of the goodness of the Lord that reaches to us every day. And we thank you because we are here again. And we give you praise and glory, Lord. We lift up your name, we honor you, and we adore you this morning. We thank you for the heart of God towards us. It's for good. For peace and not for evil. You give us an expected end. You said, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so, Lord, we thank you for the blessings of the kingdom. Thank you because your hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Your ear is not deaf that it cannot hear. It's our iniquities sometimes that cause a separation between us and our God. Therefore, Lord, we pray forgiveness of for our iniquities and anything that's in our hearts that are not right. Lord, we bring it before the cross this morning. We ask for the cleansing through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we ask, oh God, that you bless us with your presence in this room today as we share fellowship. So kick off our day for those of us that are just getting started. And those that are already in the middle of their day, we know, Lord, that you will enlighten them as well. We say your righteousness shall spring forth as the noonday. So let the noonday, wherever you are, let it bring forth righteousness for you. Let the morning bring forth the beauties of holiness. You know, and the evening we come back, we declare also his faithfulness. So Lord, we thank you for the entrance of your word. We know brings light and gives understanding to the simple. So let it enter into our hearts, even this morning, generate excitement and generate even encouragement. Believe the Lord for even more things. Blessed be thy name, Lord. Give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the room. Good morning, honey. My wife is there, Sister Pearl and Sister Alexis and Sister Julia. Thank you for being here. Sister Elaine, Sister Samantha, and Brother Sam. Thank you for being here. I invite somebody. You know, let's do that together. All right? Invite somebody. At least two or three people. Just click on invite. And let's see if we can get them here to join us. And I'm going to be starting here in just a minute. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, our topic today is multiple miracles, continuous supply. I was going to do something else. Lord changed it at the last minute. So I'm going to do this today. And this is good. This is good stuff. You know, to give us a booster in our faith. Continue to believe God. Hallelujah. Right away, the scripture says, my God shall supply all your needs. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. According to, you know, his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So we see that the verb that is used here is a continuous supply. Our God will continue to supply your needs. As long as there is a need, our God is able to continue to supply that. And not only is he able, he is willing. One time somebody came to the Lord and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. And the Lord said, I will. The Lord is always willing. He is always willing. As a matter of fact, you know, he already told us that, didn't he? He said, fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know, so as we believe the Lord together this morning, let's hear it from the words of our Lord Jesus himself. Luke 12 and verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is the, your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, Jesus was always trying to get people into that relationship. You know, it wasn't just in this particular sentence in Luke 12 and 32. He didn't just say, fear not, little flock. God is willing to give you the kingdom. He said, your father. Hallelujah. So he connected people like that most of the time, you know, taught them to pray. Say, look, when you pray, say, our father. And, you know, when you relate to God, you say, your father is what Jesus taught them. He's willing to do that. And so we just thank the Lord. My heart just thanks the Lord for bringing us into that relationship. And what does it mean for him to, you know, give you the kingdom? Well, in upcoming days and weeks going into the next year, by the grace of God, I'm going to go more into this kingdom, help us understand many things about the kingdom, which we may or may not fully understand, only because there has not been a lot of teaching, a lot of focus around it. You know, the concepts, various concepts, you know, kingdom has its own concepts of many things that, you know, we know today, but we don't know them the way of the kingdom concept. So we're going to be talking about that. But today, I just want to talk for a little bit on the ability of God to give us multiple miracles and continuous supply. Now, we may have received something from the Lord, and that's good. But whatever we've received, some of you may have heard me say this, that whatever we've received from the Lord, it's kind of like you took a bucket to the ocean, and that ocean does not get depleted. There's plenty more where that came from. I mean, in fact, you can change the size of your container. You can take a barrel, or you even bring a tanker, or whatever. You bring it, you take what you want, come back for more. There's plenty more where that came from. So the Lord is good. Now, the Lord, he wants us to thrive, not just survive. So I'm going to give us a few punchlines today. That's number one. Thrive, don't just survive. Now, what does that mean? Well, Jesus said it himself. John chapter 10 and verse 10. He gave a contrast between, you know, what the enemy is always trying to do and what he himself came to do. You know, he said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal. So the purpose that the thief comes is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Well, what is he going to try to steal? What is he going to try to kill? What is he going to try to destroy? Everything he can. You know, if he can steal your joy, he'll do it. You know, if he can kill your dreams, he will too. And if he can destroy every hope and even destroy lives, he'll do that. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, you know, and that more abundantly, you know. So the Lord doesn't just do barely enough, or doesn't want us to just do have barely enough. He wants us to have abundant life. You know, now I'm not, and I don't wish to be known as some kind of prosperity preacher, but every so often we got to bring the truth of the word of God. You know, this is not just some prosperity message. No, it is what Jesus said, and we need to believe it and walk in it and live it and realize it in our lives, that God, this is what he wants for us. Now, we'll see some examples in the Bible where God wasn't pleased with people that did not continue to believe him. In fact, the scripture calls it limiting the Holy One of Israel. Now, Psalm 78 is a very good example of that. You know, in this psalm, the psalmist is recounting the story of the children of Israel. There's a lot of good things that they experienced, but every time they had a different need or came up against something, else they forgot what the Lord already done. And they would grumble. They would complain. And I like the way that this place put it, that they actually limited. They limited God. So I'm going to focus about that also today. So here's the next punchline. Don't limit God. So two punchlines already. God wants you to thrive, not just survive. The next one is don't limit God. Now, listen to this. Psalm 78 and verse 40. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remember not his hand, nor the day that he delivered them from the enemy. Now, isn't that just luck, people? Just because we come up against a new challenge, we forget all of the great things that the Lord has done. Or we get one thing, but we don't believe for the other. Now, there are two things. You have two requests in your heart, but you only believe God for the one and not the other. Why? Or you have 10 and you only believe for 3 and not the rest. Why? I mean, is God able to only do 3 out of 10? Is God a 30% God? I mean, is he a 50% God? You know, sometimes, you know, people just can't believe God. We can't expand our minds to believe God for everything. Now, the Lord wasn't always pleased when people did that. In fact, I'll show you some stories in the Bible, simple stories which we've known before, we've read before. But let's see what the Lord is saying to us here this morning. There's a story in 2 Kings chapter 13 and from verse 14 to about verse 19. This story talks about some of the relationships and some of the, some of the actions of Elisha, the prophet, you know, with the, you know, king of Israel and all of that. So now let's pick it up at verse 14. Now, Elisha was falling sick of his sickness, whereof he died. Now, this was a sickness through which Elisha died. But before he died, Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." I don't know why he said that in particular, you know, but, you know, that's something that even Elisha himself, maybe they knew he used to say that. Because, you know, Elisha was known to say that when the Elijah was going to be taken away from him, you know, he saw chariots of fire. You know, Elijah said, "Well, if you see this, then I will, you know, then your request of double portion of my spirit will be granted you." And he saw it and he cried, you know, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. You know, I mean, so maybe they knew that he used to say that. And so this man comes here. He says the same thing. "Oh, my father, chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And Elisha said to him, now Elisha is going to tell him something now. Now, these guys are being tormented by Syria. The Syrians are always troubling them, fighting with them, and so forth. They had no rest from the Syrians at all. So Elisha tells to him, Elisha is dying here, but he's still got the word of the Lord in his mouth. He says to him, "Take your bow and arrows." And he took his bow and arrows. Now, this is the king. And he said, "Put thy hand upon the bow." He's going to give him instruction by instruction. But at some point, he's going to, you know, let him run with it. So the man put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And that's going to be a blessing now. The prophet put his hand right there. Now he's going to cause those arrows to go even further out. And they could have, because the anointing that's upon the prophet, he's going to put it on that right now. And he said, "Open the window eastward." And he did. Then Elijah said, "Shoot." And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, for thou have consumed them. Now, that's what he said. And then he stopped speaking. So he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And the king of Israel, he smote, you know, he smote the ground 3 times. And then he stopped. Now, first of all, you know, I don't think that he did exactly the way Elisha would have wanted him. He could have, you know, shot the arrows through the windows, but nevertheless, he shot it on the ground and then he stopped. And the man of God was wrath with him, was angry with him. Thou should have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then thou would have smitten Syria till thou hast consumed them. But now you will only smite Syria about 3 times. Now, sometimes we don't know what's going on in the spirit. I mean, this man didn't know what was going on in the spirit. He was trying his best to follow what the man of God was saying, but he really didn't know. He didn't know that the impact of his actions at that moment would have a tremendous impact, that his actions at that moment would carry tremendous impact even around his circumstances and the distress that they were having from the Syrians and stuff like that. And just shooting the arrows to the ground when the prophet told him to shoot. But the fact that he stopped, why did he stop at 3? And the man of God said, well, you could have gone on to 5 or 6. Well, why even 5 or 6? You could have shot until your quiver was empty. And he said, look, the number of times that you shot your arrow, those are the only number of victories that you have over Syria. Oh, my goodness. And this king would have wished that he shot more, but it's too late. See, he didn't know what was going to go on with what he was doing. So here is the next punchline today. When you are on a roll with God, don't stop. Glory to God. So 3 punchlines I'm giving you already today. You know, when you are on a roll with God, don't stop. And so if you remember the 3 things that I've said so far that I called out as punchlines, I want you to put them in the chat room. I want to see whether people are paying attention or following. You know, I've called out 3 things already, which I said, these are punchlines. This is the 3rd, you know, that I've called out. And I will call out a couple more before this lesson is over. So what are the 3 things that I called out as punchlines already? Remember, the topic of the room today is multiple miracles, continuous supply. Now, God is not a God of one miracle. He's a God that is able to do multiple miracles, continuous supply, and concurrent miracles as well. Now, this is a scripture that many of us enjoy. We like it. We know it. Ephesians 3:20. But I'm going to bring out something from that verse for us. Let me check the chat room first and see if anybody posted any of these punchlines. Let me see what they posted. Nobody posted. Are you all with me? I've given 3 punchlines already, and I'm asking you to post it in the chat room what I have said. 3 punchlines, and I'm going to give more. I want to make sure that, you know, I'm trying to keep this interactive today. Make sure that you are following, you're paying attention. I've given 3 punchlines already. Now, okay, so let me see what people are saying. Yes, Samantha say yes. We need a review. Absolutely. All right. Let's see what everybody is saying. Now, you know, say, well, God is able and willing to supply our needs. Okay. And let me see what else you have been said. When you are on a roll with God, don't stop. Okay. What else? All right. I will remind you towards the end of all the things that I've said so far. Okay? Don't limit God. It's one of them. You know, and God doesn't want you to just thrive. He wants you to survive. Now, this other one I said also is that when you are on a roll with God, don't stop. Ephesians 3:20 says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above. But don't stop there. Let's read all of it. Above all that we ask or think. And don't stop there. The last part is what I want to bring out again. That's another punchline. According to the power that worketh in us. Well, read it this way. God cannot go beyond your ability to see the greatness of his power. Or what God can do for you, even though he's able to do all of this exceeding abundantly above stuff, is limited by your faith horizon. So horizon is that imaginary thing that we see where it seems as if the sky meets the ground. And that's as far as you can see, really. Can't see beyond that. So, the power that worketh in us is what determines the power, the level, the ability, your spiritual capacity to believe God is what's going to make him to be able to do all these things. We know he can do it. We know he can exceed. But, I mean, look at even how this scripture puts it. Whatever we can ask or think. Now, what can you think? And how far can you think? How far can you see? God told Abraham in Genesis 13. He said, from the place where you stand, you know, look around you. Look to the east, west, north, or south. And I dare say, look ahead and see how far your faith horizon goes. And he said, look, for all that you see, that's Genesis 13, verses 14 and 15. All that you see or can see, let me put it to you that way. You know, that's what God can give you. You know, I've taught lessons on, you know, the future that you can see today is where you can reach tomorrow. Now, if you can see and think that God is able to do it, believe really, it's a stronger word, but in your mind, you begin to see it, then you can get it. Let me give you another scripture that addresses that, which we may not have thought of as addressing that, right? So, here is John chapter 16 and verse 13. John chapter 16 and verse 13 says that when the Spirit of truth is come, and I'm sure that we know that scripture and we've read it multiple times, but let me bring another thing out of that scripture. When he comes, that's the Holy Spirit, what are the things that he's going to do for us? Well, he says he shall show you things to come. That's the part that I want to emphasize out of 16, John 16:13 today. He will show you things to come. Well, when we read this scripture, what comes to mind? Well, we immediately think that the Lord will reveal to us the future. He will show you some impending danger. He will show you something, whatever, you know, and that's all right. You know, it's all things to come. But it's not only the future, and it's not only, you know, some thing like that, that this verse is talking about. When you unite with the Holy Spirit, you will begin to see, the Holy Spirit will begin to show you, just Jesus said it all the time. He said the Son cannot do anything except what the Father shows him. The Father shows me, and I do. You know, so likewise, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will show you things to come. Even as you are praying and believing God, Holy Spirit will show you the results. He will show you the miracles coming. He will show you the rain falling. He will show you that thing that you are believing God for. He will show you the answer of peace. He will show, even before you get it. You know, that's part of the role of the Holy Spirit, to show you things to come. It's not just, oh, the Lord will show me that 6 months from down the road, something will happen in the nation. Well, maybe. But for you in your personal walk with God, this Holy Spirit is our personal guide through life. You know, forget all the other great, you know, tremendous prophecies that the Holy Spirit can reveal about events in the world. But for you as an individual, the Holy Spirit is your personal guide. And when you are in prayer, he will show you things to come. He will show you. That means that the prayer that you are praying, God will, through the Holy Spirit, already show you the results. And when he does that, you can unite with that and it's done. And not only once, twice, three times, no. He is constantly with us. Every time you pray, Holy Spirit can show you that. And you can believe God. Now you can expand your prayer fire. You can expand your faith horizon by understanding this simple thing, this simple technique, to let the Holy Spirit show you what's to come. And so you, in your mind, you imagine, you imagine things. Imagination is a powerful thing. You know, some people let their imagination run wild. You've heard that that sentence. Imagination is a powerful thing. If you can imagine it, God can exceed it. But you should imagine it. Now, the Holy Spirit is what makes us imagine it. That's the according to the power that worketh in us part. God himself, you know, imagined many things at the beginning. It was all in his mind. And as he imagined it, he called it forth. One by one, he called them all forth. Day after day, he called them all forth. Everything he saw in his mind, he called it forth. Because he sees the end from the beginning, so he called it forth. And finally, he imagined himself. He said, well, I'm going to introduce myself into man, and I will reproduce, you know, my character in them. Glory to God. So when he imagined himself like that, there was nothing more to imagine after that. That was the height of his imagination. Glory to God. So when he reached the height of his imagination, he had already imagined everything else. Anything you can think of, he called it for. You know, things that were not there, they were in his mind. He imagined them, then he called them for. You know, and so, when he now imagined himself, this was the crescendo. He got to the peak of his imagination by imagining himself. Because you cannot get any bigger than God. Can't be anything else. So after he imagined himself, said, look, I'm going to make man just like me. Then he was done. There's nothing else to imagine after that. He's done now. So that's why the Bible says he rested from his works or ceased. Not that he was tired. I've said it multiple times in my rooms. God is never tired. He is never weary and he never slumbers. You know, so let's throw that thinking away that God was tired. That's why he rested. No. God had gotten to the end of his imagination. So he stopped, you know, and he said, well, the man is here now. Let him take it over. And when I come back into more of the kingdom series, perhaps in the next few days or next year, by the grace of God, I'm going to get some more into that for us to understand that deeper. But back to today's subject, I digress there to show you something else. Another punchline, yet another punchline. You know, although God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think, he cannot go beyond the capacity of the power that is working in you, that power of imagination, the power to see the future. You know, the power, and you can, you know, you can develop that by using the word of God to shape your future. That's another thing today. The word of God is what you use to shape your future. So we see that Elisha was not happy with his king. Because the man stopped at 3 instead of, you know, I mean, he could have done much more. Why? We see there are many times that we've seen these things in the Bible. You know, let's look at 2 Kings, especially this Elisha man. I mean, he was used to this kind of, you know, increasing supply. And no non-stop supply. You want to call it that? Non-stop supply. He was used to it. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, my, you know, husband, your servant is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is now come to take my 2 sons to be born men. And so Elisha turned to her and said, well, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? She said, well, thy handmaid had nothing in the house except a pot of oil. And Elisha said, it is enough. Glory to God. It's enough. So, well, here's what I want you to do. Go and borrow vessels from all your neighbors. Empty vessels. Borrow not a few. This miracle of continuous supply is going to be limited by her capacity to get more vessels. That's it. The more vessels that you can get, because the man of God said, don't borrow a few, get as many as you can. And of course, when you come in, shut the door upon you and your sons, pour out into all those vessels, set aside the one that is full and continue. The next one. So she went and did on that. And she said to her son, bring me yet another vessel. And he said, the vessel, no more vessels. And the oil stayed. Well, if somehow they would have had more vessels, the oil would have continued to flow. It's just that simple. It was a continuous supply limited only by the capacity to receive. Now, that's another punchline today. Now, somebody post that in the chat room for me. God's ability to provide continuous supply is limited only by my capacity to receive. That's it. That's another punchline. You know, put it there. You're writing, your handwriting yourself or typing. That will help you to remember it. You know, God can give continuous supply, but it is limited by my capacity to receive. It's just that simple. God is always dishing things out. I mean, people think that, you know, God is not dishing out. No, God is always dishing out stuff and good things. The problem is we don't have the capacity to receive. I'll tell you a side story. Last year, I went to Nigeria with my wife, and when we got there, the house where we were to stay, we found out in the estate there was no water. But the Lord was good to us, and He sent us rain. In fact, as soon as we were putting down our luggage, the rain started. Very heavy rain. It started. In fact, we barely got the luggage inside the house until there was a tremendous downpour. And I didn't know at the time that there was no water flowing from the taps. So by the time we got inside and figured it out, you know, the rain had stopped. I said, oh, there's no water in the estate. What's going on? So I quickly said, well, I think it's going to rain again. Let me gather some vessels. Now, we had some containers that we put in the house, you know, to save water and all that. And gather those containers. And then it started to rain again. And I had to rush out looking for where the rain was gushing out from the, you know, edge of the roof or whatever. I could put the container there and so forth. And the rain, but, you know, when I just had two of those containers and it rained for a long time. And those containers were filled in like a minute. They were filled. But I could not receive any more of that rain. Because I had nothing else to receive it with. But the rain kept falling. The heavens just opened up. But I ran out of containers. Now, the rain did not stop. Actually, it was still raining in my own case. But, you know, I had nothing else to receive the rain with. And so I figured out how to get more containers because I knew it was still going to rain. I knew that was God's way of supplying us water while we were there. We're going to be there for 2.5 weeks or so. And if we didn't have any water, it was going to be a problem. And so God was supplying the water, but I had nothing to receive it. Now, what is that telling us? Well, in the case of this woman, it was a point blank specific word to her. And so when she ran out of vessels, the rain stopped. In my case, it wasn't a point blank specific word to me. It was God. It was just blessing. You know, God didn't tell me, go get some vessels and I'll send you rain. He didn't. He sent the rain, but I was the one trying to receive the rain. But when my vessels ran out, the rain did not stop in this particular case. Just because my vessels ran out. Because it wasn't a specific word to me. Like it was for the lady. I hope you are following. The rain continued. And that's what God is doing today. God is still dishing out the rain of blessings. He's dishing them out. Glory to God. But are you receiving? And that's the thing. Do you have the capacity to receive? Or are you limiting God? You know, so if you are not receiving and God is dishing out, then what does that really mean? Well, it means that we are lacking understanding of how to receive. Or according to the power that walketh in us, we're not, you know, the power is limited because, you know, of how we limited God. So that woman's supply stopped when she had nothing else to receive it with. But it was continual supply. There's another story of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17. He also, with the widow of Zarephath, when he had told her, you know, he said, I pray you, you know, bring me some water. And while she was going, he said, look, I pray you, you know, get me something to eat. And the woman said, as the Lord thy God liveth. Well, I don't know if she knew she was a man of God or whatever. I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel. This is 1 Kings chapter 17, now at verse 13. And a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. So Elijah said, well, fear not. Nobody is dying today. I love this story. Nobody's dying today. Now go and do as thou hast said. Go and bake for yourself and your child. That's okay. But just bring me a little cake. For thus saith the Lord. And he put it right there. That barrel of meal, and everybody loves this. We quote it, but we don't really know what it means. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the house. Now, in this particular case, the man of God put an end time or end zone to this continuous supply. The reason that the woman was in this hardship and about to despair of life was because of the famine that had been in the land. No rain, no crops, nothing. So Elijah said, well, don't worry about it. God will supply that until the rain comes. And then the rain will take over and your natural supply will continue. Now, God can give this continuous supply. The barrel of meal shall not waste. Neither shall the cruse of oil fail. I don't know how many people have experienced or can experience this kind of miracle. Our God is a God of miracle. Rain of miracles constantly falling. But you have the capacity to receive. You know, one time in the Matthew chapter 14, and there are multiple stories like this throughout the Bible. I mean, throughout the Gospels. You know, but let's just look at this one. Many times we know this story, you know, how Jesus, you know, would be with the multitudes and different things like that. And then he would ask, you know, his disciples, look, let's give them to eat. So this was or something like this. This was a similar story. It's in Matthew, it's in John, it's all over the place. Let me just read this one in Matthew. Matthew 14. And verse 15. When it was evening, his disciples came unto him. This is a desert place. The time is now past. The shops are closing. Send the multitude away so that they can go into the villages and get themselves something to eat. That's what they said. And Jesus said, look, there's no need for you to send them away. You give them to eat. It said, we can't, you know. In another place, he said, look, where are we going to buy? Andrew said to him, look, even if we take 200 pence, remember a penny was a whole day's wage for them in those days, according to Matthew 20, the story of the workers in the vineyard. It was a penny for a day. Even if we had 200 pennies, it wouldn't be enough to buy food for all these people. And Jesus said, no, you give them to eat. And he said, look, we don't have anything but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Well, it was actually a little boy's lunch. It's turned out. You know, and the Lord said, well, that's enough. You bring them to me. Now, here is another punchline. Put it in God's hands. That's right. The little that you have, put it in God's hands. I'm not saying give it away as an offering to some preacher. No, I didn't say that. No, let nobody quote me for that. I never said that. I said, put it in God's hands. Let him put a blessing on it for you. Glory to God. And then you see what he will do. So he commanded them all to sit down. You know, in the other place, he said, look, he told them to sit them down by companies and so forth. And they sat down, you know, and, then he gave the loaves. Listen to this. This is the part. And this part was true. Reported the same way in every one of these examples. Jesus blessed the 5 loaves and two fishes, and gave to his disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitude. Now, Jesus didn't give it to the multitude. You know, he only gave it to the disciples. Now, let's imagine that Jesus had, 12 disciples with him at the time. So if he takes, and remember, it was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. How hard is it to break 5 loaves into 12 pieces? I don't think it's very hard. In fact, if you just cut each of those 5 loaves into 2, you already have 10 right there. So it's not very hard at all to break 5 loaves into 12. Not very hard. When he cut 2 fishes into 12, not very hard at all. But let's take a look at what's going on here. What's going on here, which sometimes we often overlook, is that Jesus only put a blessing on the thing. That's all he did. He put it into the hands of the disciples. The actual miracle of multiplication and continuous supply and many miracles to feed all those people was actually happening in the hands of the disciples, not in the hands of Jesus. I mean, I can break 5 loaves into 12. So can you. I can break 2 fishes into 12. So can you. Nothing hard in that at all. But when you get a little piece, and Peter got a little piece of the bread and a little piece of the fish, James, John, Andrew, Matthew, all of them, they all got little pieces in their hands, just one, just handful to give out to the people. The actual miracle of continuous supply was happening in the hands of the disciples. And each one of them had to, they experienced it as a group miracle that day because of the blessing that Jesus put on it. But they had to keep believing as they were dishing it out. Jesus wasn't the one dishing it out. He only broke it into 12 and gave it to the disciples. But as each one of them was dishing it out to the crowd, the multitude, he was multiplying in their hands. And they had to keep believing that. Now, if they would have stopped believing, maybe it would have stopped. But in this particular case, until every single one of, in one case, maybe 5,000, maybe this, maybe that. In this case, it was 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Until all of those people were filled from a little boy's sack lunch, the thing did not stop. It just continued. And that's continuous supply. That's glory to God. Now, as long as the need exists and you keep believing, God will keep supplying that need. That's another punchline. In fact, that's the one we started with. We started out with that in Philippians 4:19. Say, my God shall supply. It's a continuous supply of all your needs. As long as there is a need and you keep believing, he'll supply according to his riches in glory. Well, the place that the supply is coming from, riches in glory, it's coming from his own reservoir of blessings. It's not going to supply your needs according to your job that you have or you don't have. No. It's not according to your salary. No. It's not according to whatever. It's according to its own riches. All you got to do to draw it out is continuously believing in his ability to continue to provide. That's how you draw it out. You draw out, that's why the Bible says, deep calleth unto the deep. When you draw it out, when God is dishing, ready to dish, bring your containers, not a few. Glory to God. And he will continue to supply. Bring your needs. Don't stop at one need. I mean, if you have 10 needs, God does 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 for you. And then you stop believing. Why? He can do them all. And then some. You know, but sometimes we limit God. In fact, a lot of times we limit God. We actually think that, well, you know, one miracle is harder for God than the other. No, not at all. There's no such thing. It's harder for us because of the limit we put on our faith horizon. But for God, it's all the same. God can heal cancer the same way as he can heal a headache. It doesn't mean anything to him at all. It's all the same. It's all in his realm. You know, we'll talk about that more when we get into kingdom principles later on, how that works. You know, he can do all these things. But it is left for us to continuously believe God. So today, the question is this. Can you believe him for multiple miracles and continuous supply? Can you? And that's the question. You know, every one of us that's in this room, we've received miracles from God from time to time. Every one of us. But then, just about every one of us has also, at one time, doubted or limited God. You know, because in our minds, you know, we just think that, well, maybe this one's a little harder or whatever. And we try to figure it out or rationalize it. Well, God cannot be figured out and God cannot be rationalized. If we try to figure him out or we try to rationalize it, it doesn't work. Now, what is in your hand today? Why don't we turn that over to the Lord and let's see what he can bless us with. What he can put, you know, when he can put a blessing on it. The psalmist said in Psalm 23 and verse 5, he said, the Lord anoints my head with oil and my cup runneth over. Now that's runneth is a continuous present tense. My cup is running over. Now, is your cup still running over? I mean, is the barrel, the oil in the barrel of meal, the cruse of oil, whatever, is it still running for you or has the oil stayed? Well, the oil will stay. That means stop. The supply will stop when there is no more vessel to receive or faith has stopped. If there is no more faith to pull out that supply, it will stop. Or there is no more vessel to receive it, then it will stop. So the oil stayed when there were no more vessels. In the case of the woman and all that. But she got enough, thankfully. She was able to sell and pay her debt and save her children from being taken into as bondmen to pay for those debt. You know, so how do we believe God then? Well, here's another scripture which people, you know, quote for whatever reason. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. It talks about pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Well, let me read this to us again. There may be a punchline in this verse as well. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Well, now, people love this part. Good measure, pressed down, and shaking together, and running over. People like that. Shall men give unto your bosom? Yeah, everybody loves that. And in fact, some preachers use this to say that, look, you know, when you give, you'll be given abundance, and all these things will come to you. Well, that's all good. However, the second part of this verse is what people don't follow or think about. And there's yet another punchline or secret in this verse. For the same measure, with the same measure that you mete out, shall it be measured unto you again. Don't give out tiny and think that. I mean, this nonsense that people say, you bring 10 dollars and then you're going to get 10,000. It's not even in the scriptures. That same measure that you mete out. That's the same measure that will measure to you again. You know, if you don't have the capacity to be liberal yourself, right? You don't have the capacity to do that. You are tight-fisted and everything. Well, it's not going to work. You know, you can't give a little and then expect a whole lot. No, it's the same measure. If you want shaking together, press down, running over, you know, and our, you know, I know our sisters, especially from, you know, our Nigerian and African sisters, you know, they love this stuff, right? I mean, you go to market, they wait, you know, they get you the green. You know, I've been to the market a few times with my wife. And when they pour the green, those of you know the gari or whatever the grain is. I mean, and they pour, you know, when before you come there, they make this thing look like a mountain or a hill. It's all a lie. It's just fake. They just put it out like that. But when they're serving it to you, the way the women will do is say, no, press it down. Shake it again. Press it down. Put some more. So if you have to press it down. You put a little more. Press it down. Put a little more until it runs over. Well, if you want all that running over, press down, shaking together and running over kind of thing, well, you got to be ready to do the same. The liberal soul, Proverbs 11 and verse 25, shall be made fat himself, and he that watereth shall also be watered. If you want to give a little and you think that you're going to get pressed down, shaking together, running over, no. That's not how it works. And Jesus wasn't saying give this give that he's talking about here did not say give it to some preacher. He said give. Glory to God. As long as your life is a life of giving, you know, give anything. He wasn't talking about just money here. Give, he said, you know, anything you give. And if you give, the way you give it, it's the way it's going to come back to you. Glory to God. You know, so if you give your time, you give your love, you give everything, it's going to come back to you the same way. Now, if you give sparingly, you know, scripture says that in 2 Corinthians 9. If you give sparingly, then you will also reap sparingly. Now, if you give abundantly, then you will also reap abundantly. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But I say unto you, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. These things are in the scriptures. So I don't know how people take the scripture and turn it upside down. You know, and say, you just give a little and reap a lot. No, the Bible never said that. The same measure that you meet shall be measured back to you. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. But you can sow a little, and yet it's bountiful, if that's all you have. Because the widow's mite, which Jesus said, he said he looked and he saw them casting things into the treasury. And everybody was giving out of their abundance, but this woman brought a little. But that was all she had. So it's not the quantity. It's what it represents. It represented 100% for her. And so that's abundant. That's bountifully. And that's why even, you know, when the Lord was asking them to give, you know, this and that, he gave it as a percentage. You know, otherwise, if he gave it as a number, a numeric number, some people will not be able to achieve it. But if he gave it as a percentage, if everybody gave a percentage, then it's all the same, you know. So, if you know, it's like the people that receive the talents, the one that did five talents and went and got five more, got 100%. The one that did the two and went and got two more, got 100%. According to their several ability. And so they got the same reward, you know. So, in this case, what we're talking about here is I'm not just talking about the quantity. I'm talking about the quality. You know, I mean, several men of God in the Bible, David and more, would say, look, I'm not going to give anything to God that doesn't cost me something. So what does it cost you? What is it costing you to believe God? Well, you got to believe God, really. Believe God for more. That's our lesson today. Believe God for more. Don't stop at one when you can get two. Don't stop at two when you can even get three. You know, everything about God is abundant and is overflowing. It's not even, even spiritual things. He calls it joy unspeakable. It's abundant joy. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. It's not, don't just get joy one day and then sorrow the next day. That's not how God wants to do it. God wants to give us, joy unspeakable and full of glory. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8. God wants to give us abundant joy. Psalm 16 verse 11. In his presence is fullness of joy. Why stop at some little joy? Why not get fullness? And so on and so forth. Many of these things are in the Bible. God will even give us peace like a river. Flowing, overflowing. Isaiah 66 and verse 12. Many promises about God, from God in the Bible, showing the continuity of that very thing from the Lord. And it's not just one thing, it's a continuous. That's why it depicts it like a river. A river is always flowing. Isaiah 66 and 12, behold, saith the Lord, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. It's not just a lake. It just takes one day and then it stops. No, it's flowing. Glory to God. It's always flowing. The peace that passes understanding. Philippians 4 and 7 even talks about that. Flowing. The things of God are always flowing. Even the Holy Spirit. Jesus depicted it like this in John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. He said the Holy Spirit is giving, like an overflowing. At that day, Jesus cried and said, out of the belly of him that believes in me shall come forth rivers of living water. Flowing. Not just barely dripping out, but flowing. Glory to God. So that is our lesson today. Let's believe God, not just once or twice, but let's keep on believing. Now, let me check the chat room and see how many of these punchlines people remember. So let's do a review again. I have thrown out several things today. Go into the chat room, if you would, please, and post one or two sentences here and there of what you remember of the things that I called out as punchlines. There were several. I think I might have mentioned up to six or seven. But some people have already posted something. What do you remember? Your capacity to receive is what limits what God can give. So that's another one. Your capacity to receive limits what God can give. Because God is always dishing out. But are you able to receive? Praise God. He's able to do exceeding abundantly. It is the capacity, and how do we increase our capacity? Spiritual capacity. How do you increase that? Well, through the word of God and through a constant reminder to yourself of the things that God has done in the past and using that to encourage yourself for the present conflict. Whatever it is, your ability to receive, your capacity actually puts a limit on, you know, what God's ability to give you. So that's even good. It even sounds like a poetic thing. Your capacity to receive limits God's ability to give. Oh, praise God. Well, so, you know, these are to give you. Not, God is always giving. And what God can give you, you can only receive what you have capacity to believe. That's another way of saying it. So, but if you continue to believe, you can get multiple concurrent miracles. And the miracles that God does for us doesn't have to be years apart. You know, we can get miracles from Him all day long. All day long. But we got to put the vessel, and we got to be in the right place to receive the miracle. Now, back to the story I told when we went to Nigeria and the rain was gushing. Even when I was able to get the vessel, I had to put the vessel in the right place to get that rain. You know, there was just one eave in the corner like this where the water was gushing out. Now, I could put it out in the open, and it will not fill up as quickly. But you put it in a certain place where, you know, it was like the water was trained on that roof to just fall through there, and I would just get a supply in very little time. So if you're in the right place to receive, then you will receive. Now, the right place also means in our minds. It must be in the right place in our minds. One of the things that Jesus said was in John 11 and 25. He said, look, if you have the capacity, you can do it. You can move this mountain. You can tell it to do anything and so forth. But when you stand praying, you must forgive. Now, that's in our minds. If you don't forgive, then it can hinder all these things. But if you learn the art of forgiveness and release, then Jesus said, what you say with your mouth, and you don't doubt in your heart, or you believe that those things you say have come to pass, say, well, then you shall have whatsoever you say. But you must forgive. Glory to God. So our posture that we are trying to encourage us today is for continuously believing, to continuously believe God. God is able to do exceeding abundantly, but only to the capacity of the power that's working in you. Limited by what you can believe. Let's not limit God like they limited the Holy One of Israel. God didn't like that. Everything that God does is by expansion. You know, today, you know, science is still finding out that the universe looks like it's constantly expanding. They can't figure it out. Well, because of the increase of His government. And peace, so there shall be no end. Glory to God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me wish everybody a Merry Christmas before I close the room and ask for comments and reactions. Let me say also that there is an abundance of peace that Jesus brings. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 tells us that. He said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Glory to God. Now, of the increase of his government and peace, hallelujah, there shall be no end. Glory to God. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it, henceforth, even forever. So the increase, constantly increasing. And there's no end to God. He's constantly doing. Glory to God. Even when they challenge Jesus And why are you doing this on the Sabbath day? His answer was, well, my father walketh hitherto, and I walk. You know, so that means, you know, my father has not taken a break. I mean, have you ever wondered why he said that? You can read that story in John chapter 5 and verse 17. You know, from verse 16, he said, the Jews therefore did persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. He made somebody whole on the Sabbath day. You know, the story of the man that was waiting for the moving of the water. It was on the Sabbath day. And Jesus did these things. So they came to him and said, why you do these things on the Sabbath day? And the answer to Jesus will amaze you. John chapter 5, verse 17. I want you to reflect on that today. My father walketh hitherto. In other words, up till now, my father is constantly walking, never took a break, not on Sabbath day or any day else. Therefore, I also walk. Glory to God. So that's another secret revealed to you, another gem revealed to you today. God doesn't take a break, not even on Sabbath day. Jesus said, look, my father is still walking. Your tradition tells you that he took a break, that he ceased and he's done. He said, no, my father is walking up to you now. And whatever he shows me, I also do. So if he shows me a miracle on a Sabbath day, then I do the miracle on a Sabbath day. So you go figure. Hallelujah. So ladies and gentlemen, God bless everyone that's in the room with us. And thank you for posting the scriptures, Sister Pearl. Looks like you had scripture duty today. And I see that my wife also posted some things. And Samantha and everybody that posted their reactions. You know, thrive, not just survive. You know, don't just survive, thrive. God has an ocean of supply. Praise God. Somebody posted that. Yeah, that's good. I said, you know, his supply, his reservoir of supply is like the ocean. What you can get from it is taking a bucket or a barrel or even a tanker to the ocean. You can take anything you want. He's not going to put a dent in that ocean. You know, there's more, plenty more where that came by. Increase the size of your container when you are coming to God. That's another punchline, you know. And the prophet told her, borrow vessels, not a few. You know, so, you know, why come with a small container when you can bring a bigger container? You have faith, bring a bigger container. Open your mouth wide, the Lord said, and I will fill it. You know, don't settle for less when you can get more. And when you are on a roll, that's another one I told you today. When you are on a roll with God, don't stop. Don't shoot the arrow 3 times when you could have done it 5, 6, 7, or even 10 times. Why stop at 3? You know, when God is on a roll with you and you are on a roll with God, don't stop. Get this and get that and get the more. The Lord loves you when people can believe him. He already has the capacity to give it. He gave us a blanket check. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, believing, you shall receive. It's a blanket check. He's the only one that had the capacity to do that. Nobody in this room, listening now, before, or listening later, has the capacity to give such a promise. That ask me anything and I will do it. Nobody can do that. Only God, you know, because if you can't even do it, you can't even dare to do it because you don't have the capacity. Neither do I. But God has the capacity to do it. And he did it and he backs it up too. Glory to God. As long as you ask according to his will, you know, you got, you know, if you increase your capacity for more, you will get more from the Lord. Father, I thank you for your word that we have shared today. Glory to God. And I pray, Lord, that this will excite our hearts to believe God for more. Now, this year, I want you to take inventory. Maybe you started out the year with a list of 12 or 14 things you wanted God to do. And so far, you got 8 or 9. Well, why do you believe for those 8 or 9 and not the rest? Keep on believing. You know, it may be a little delay. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Every single one item on that list, as long as it is according to the will of God, he will do it all. So keep on believing. Don't stop. Hallelujah. Continuous, non-stop supply from the Lord. Multiple concurrent miracles will be your portion in Jesus' name. Now I release and I command the windows of heaven in the name of Jesus be opened up and pour unto you. Glory to God. But you must bring your vessels to receive. And the windows of heaven are open. Bring your vessels to receive. The more, the larger the vessel, the more you can receive. The more you can bring, the more you can receive. And Father, I pray that you expand this revelation, this knowledge in our hearts. Simple, but so powerful, yet so effective. When we put the little that we have in God's hands, God will put a blessing. Here's another one for you. God will put a blessing on it and he'll put it back in your hands. That's how it works. The disciples, they gave, you know, the 5 loaves, 2 fishes to Christ. He put a blessing on the little boy's lunch and gave it back to the disciples. And then you deal with it. Glory to God. So God's already put, if you present what you have, no matter how little, you may be a business entrepreneur. Maybe you have a business idea, it's small. Remember Job chapter 8 and verse 7. Though thy beginnings were small, yet thy latter end shall greatly increase. You present that little to God. He put a blessing on it and he put it back in your hands to see what you're going to do with it. That's what he always does. Same thing he did with Adam in the beginning. He put a blessing upon Adam. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Breathe into him a total package. And then he brought everything back to him and said, well, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to call this one? Glory to God. So it's back in your court. The ball's back in your court. Once God puts a blessing on it, what are you going to do with it? Everything that we go through and we're believing God for, God will pour that blessing and sometimes he'll put the action right back in your lap. What you must do, glory to God. And the Lord has told you that the rain is coming, but you are going to have to build the ark. He's not going to build the ark, but he'll give you the timber. He'll show you where you can find the wood and all that, but you're going to build that ark. Glory to God. But when they picked up those fragments of the food after Jesus blessed and the disciples gave it, 12 baskets were picked up. Now people brought their baskets. They were with him for days, just that their food ran out. So they used all those same baskets to, you know, gather up the fragments. And who do you think those fragments belong to? Well, it belonged to the boy. I gave up his lunch in the first place. Glory to God. Didn't belong to the disciples. It belongs to that boy. Glory to God. Well, that's our lesson today. And that's a wrap for today. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Well, let me hear your reactions now and see what, you know, what you get out of all of this. And you can, you know, you can put your reaction in the chat room or you can come up to the stage and share your reactions with us. Well,